Chapter 36. Andres had challenged at the government position. That is, he had lain down where the ground fell sharply away below the triple belt of wire and shouted up at the rock and earth parapet. There was no continual defensive line, and he could easily have passed this position in the dark and made his way farther into the government territory before running into someone who would challenge him. But it seemed safer and simpler to get it over here.
"Salud!" he had shouted. "Salud, milicianos!"
He heard a bolt snick as it was pulled back. Then, from farther down the parapet, a rifle fired. There was a crashing crack and a downward stab of yellow in the dark. Andres had flattened at the click, the top of his head hard against the ground.
"Don't shoot, comrades!" Andres shouted. "Don't shoot! I want to come in!" "How many are you?"
someone called from behind the parapet.
"One! Me, alone!" "Who are you?" "Andres Lopez of Villaconejos, from the band of Pablo, with a message." "Have you your rifle and equipment?"
"Yes, man."
"We can take in none without rifle and equipment," the voice said. "Nor in larger groups than three."
"I am alone," Andres shouted. "It is important. Let me come in."
He could hear them talking behind the parapet, but not what they were saying. Then the voice shouted again.
"How many are you?"
"One. Me, alone, for the love of God."
They were talking behind the parapet again. Then the voice came.
"Listen, fascist."
"I am not a fascist," Andres shouted. "I am a guerrillero from the band of Pablo. I come with a message for the general staff."
"He's crazy," he heard someone say. "Toss a bomb at him."
"Listen," Andres said. "I am alone. I am completely by myself. I obscenity in the midst of the holy mysteries that I am alone. Let me come in."
"He speaks like a Christian," he heard someone say, and laugh.
Then someone else said, "The best thing is to toss a bomb down on him."
"No," Andres shouted. "That would be a great mistake. This is important. Let me come in."
It was for this reason that he had never enjoyed trips back and forth between the lines. Sometimes it was better than others, but it was never good.
"You are alone?"
the voice called down again.
"Me cago en la leche," Andres shouted. "How many times must I tell thee? I am alone."
"Then if you should be alone, stand up and hold thy rifle over thy head."
Andres stood up and put the carbine above his head, holding it in both hands.
"Now come through the wire. We have thee covered with the máquina," the voice called.
Andres was in the first zigzag belt of wire.
"I need my hands to get through the wire," he shouted.
"Keep them up," the voice commanded.
"I am held fast by the wire," Andres called.
"It would have been simpler to have thrown a bomb at him," a voice said.
"Let him sling his rifle," another voice said. "He cannot come through there with his hands above his head. Use a little reason."
"All these fascists are the same," the other voice said. "They demand one condition after another."
"Listen," Andres shouted. "I am no fascist, but a guerrillero from the band of Pablo. We've killed more fascists than the typhus."
"I have never heard of the band of Pablo,"
the man who was evidently in command of the post said.
"Neither of Peter, nor of Paul, nor of any of the other saints nor apostles, nor of their bands. Sling thy rifle over thy shoulder, and use thy hands to come through the wire."
"Before we loose the máquina on thee," another shouted.
"Qué poco amable sois," Andres said. "You're not very amiable."
He was working his way through the wire.
"Amables," someone shouted at him. "We are in a war, man."
"It begins to appear so," Andres said.
"What's he say?"
Andres heard a bolt click again.
"Nothing," he shouted. "I say nothing. Do not shoot until I get through this fornicating wire."
"Don't speak badly of our wire," someone shouted, "or we'll toss a bomb on you."
"Quiero decir que buena alambrada," Andres shouted. "What beautiful wire. God in a latrine, what lovely wire. Soon I will be with thee, brothers."
"Throw a bomb at him,"
he heard the one voice say.
"I tell you, that's the soundest way to deal with the whole thing."
"Brothers," Andres said.
He was wet through with sweat, and he knew the bomb advocate was perfectly capable of tossing a grenade at any moment.
"I have no importance."
"I believe it,"
the bomb man said.
"You are right,"
Andres said. He was working carefully through the third belt of wire, and he was very close to the parapet.
"I have no importance of any kind, but the affair is serious. Muy, muy serio."
"There is no more serious thing than liberty,"
the bomb man shouted.
"Thou thinkest there is anything more serious than liberty?"
he asked challengingly.
No man,
Andres said, relieved. He knew now he was up against the crazies, the ones with the black and red scarves.
Viva la libertad! Viva la FAI! Viva la CNT!
They shouted back at him from the parapet.
Viva el narco-sindicalismo and liberty! Viva nosotros!
Andres shouted.
Long life to us!
He is a co-religionary of ours, the bomb man said,
and I might have killed him with this.
He looked at the grenade in his hand and was deeply moved as Andres climbed over the parapet. Putting his arms around him, the grenade still in one hand, so that it rested against Andres' shoulder blade as he embraced him, the bomb man kissed him on both cheeks.
I am content that nothing happened to thee, brother, he said. I am very content.
Where is thy officer? Andres asked.
I command here, a man said. Let me see thy papers.